Please go to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. The chapter that we're studying this afternoon is a horrific chapter. And it's supposed to be horrific. This chapter shows the disgusting, terrible results of sin. And as we read, there should be a burden on us as we see the consequences of sin. Revelation chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. As I said, a disturbing chapter. But a chapter in the scripture it is, and so we will study it this afternoon. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, even difficult passages like this one. Lord, how horrible sin is. How long-suffering you are to know what sin really brings. But you are patient and you give people time to repent. Lord, I pray that you would bless the study of your word. Help us to be reminded of how terrible sin is. How awful our enemy is. And how passionate we should be to love and to serve you, who gives the answer to all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Probably as a parent, you have caught your child just before or just as they started to do something bad. And you say, stop! And unless your child is absolutely perfect, at least once in their life, they probably looked back. They heard the word stop. The wheels are turning. They think about what they're about to do, and they think, this looks pretty fun. It looks pretty good to do. There are consequences to my action. But what am I going to do? And sometimes your children have probably failed and kept going. Sometimes the lure of the sin, the potential pleasure of the sin, seems too great. Maybe the penalty for your sin doesn't seem all that bad. I can deal with the consequences of this one. You know, every time you sin, that should be on your mind. The potential consequences of your sin. And the question here, as we've read the full, at least as far as the tribulation period goes, this terrible consequences of sin, as the judgment is being poured out on sin, the question then, and the reminder for us that we should ask before we partake in any sin, is the pleasure of this sin really worth the consequences? Revelation 9 says that the consequences of sin are not tolerable. And yes, as saved individuals, Christ has paid for your sins, and we thank him for that. And we do not endure ourselves the full weight of the penalty of sin. But next time we are tempted to sin, even the most minor of sins, even though Christ has died to pay for them, we should still remember that this is what sin deserves. How can I toy with it? How can I still be lured by it? Because sin leads to this. It's horrendous. And it's supposed to be horrendous. I can't lighten this chapter up at all. It's horrendous. And that is what sin deserves. The fifth trumpet in verses 1 through 12 show that sin deserves the punishment of excruciating pain. Before we get into it, I need to praise the Lord for this fact, this good news that Christ endured that pain for you. Sin deserves excruciating pain, and Christ took it freely for you. Amen. So what should you do in return? Christ did not endure the excruciating pain of sin so that you could still pursue your sin. He endured the excruciating pain to free you from it. And here we see the fifth angel sounding. We're going to see God's sovereignty over the punishment of sin. But he doesn't deliver the punishment himself. It is going to be the demons and Satan who deliver the punishment. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Now, in the last chapter, when we saw stars falling, they were most likely a meteorite, something like that. This star, in that this being does something, is most likely an angelic being. Now, the question is whether it's a good angel or a bad angel. And many see the fact that the star has fallen as, well, the angels that have fallen are the bad angels. They're the demons. But this one has the key to the bottomless pit. And Satan gets put into the bottomless pit. He doesn't have the key to it. And so I believe that this is a good angel, and that he is falling is just referring to his where he's coming from. He descends and he opens the key to the bottomless pit. But there is a good amount of discussion about that. Most agree that it is an angel of some sort, whether it's a good angel or a fallen angel. That is fairly evenly divided in the debate. But anyway, this being comes, and he has the key to the bottomless pit. And he opens the bottomless pit. This bottomless pit here is a horrible place. This bottomless pit is not just a symbol. This is a place. This is a reality. And it is likely that this is hell itself. And the pit is bottomless, meaning there is no floor for those that are caught in it to rest. It's continual falling. It's a place of an inability to rest. And the smoke of it is so thick that as the pit is opened, there is enough smoke to come up out of it that it darkens the sun and the air. That's how thick, once it's released. Imagine how thick it is before it's released. It's a dark and dismal and horrible place. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Now I believe that the locusts, and majority of commentators agree with this, that the locusts are imagery, that these are actually demons. These are not normal locusts, because normal locusts would eat the green trees and things like that. And a locust plague is a horrible thing, but this is even beyond that. These are demons. And here we see something that is normally hidden to our eyes. Because the spiritual world beyond the physical world is a reality, and it is a reality today. And we often forget that the enemy is all around. Demons are present today. And we usually can't see them, so we get too lax about certain things. But this is reality, and here they are going to be revealed. And they are going to do terrible things. And they're going to do terrible things because that's what they want to do. These demons, they want people to sin. And they want people to sin because they love destroying those sinners. So out of the earth smoke came locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. We're going to see the scorpion part in just a little bit. But they have great power. It says they are given power. And usually in Revelation, when the passive is used, it's God who's given them the power. They've been locked up in this pit until it was the right time. And now they're released to do what they want to do. And God allows them to do this. Even though it's horrible, he allows them to do this because this is the result of sin. This is the judgment on sin. And it's unimaginable. But this is what sin requires. This is what sin deserves. And so verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. They weren't to hurt any of the plant life. The plant life had already been hurt. They weren't to hurt it any further here, as normal locusts would have done. The other thing that they can't hurt, and the one bit of good news in this entire chapter, is the other thing that they were not allowed to hurt. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Do you know who the demons could not hurt? Who the demons had no power over? Believers. God was protecting them. He separates them out here, and the demons have no power over them. They are free from this torment. These ones were intended, and the ones that they are going to punish are the ones that deserve punishment because they chose to reject Christ and follow in their sins instead. And that is who they were going to go after, who they are going to go after, since this is future. Verse 5. The fifth trumpet here is a trumpet of punishment, of excruciating pain. It's not death. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Scorpions are currently feared by many because their sting brings excruciating pain. Their stings currently bring such pain that it is possible that somebody could die from a scorpion bite. But these ones, they deliver this horrible, excruciating pain, and the people cannot escape that pain. They will have it, and they will have it for the full amount of time. For 5 months, a sting of a scorpion today lasts a number of days, week. I'm not exactly sure. I know there's a lot of different types of them. But it is a limited thing, and the pain is horrible. These ones, day after day, they endure this terrible pain for 5 months. How excruciating is this pain? Well, verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death. That is how excruciating that pain is. Every day they wake up and they say, I just want to die. Get me out of this pain. It's horrible. I can't live with it another moment. They try to commit suicide. They'll seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. They long to death for death. And they long for death because they say, death will be a relief from this pain. But they're not understanding. They think that death will release them from that pain, but it won't. Because the only relief from the consequences of sin is trusting Christ as Savior. And they're not doing that. They just want to die. And he says, no, you have to endure this for the full 5 months. I'm not letting you die. Imagine the horrors of those days as people are trying to kill themselves over and over, and they can't. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thought. The description of the locust then in 7 through 11, 7 through 10, again, it's to strike fear. The description is to strike fear because this is something to be afraid of. Paying for the consequences of your sin on your own is something to fear. Yes, for us, something to be thankful for. But as we go about, it's something to share with those that we love and say, look at this, it's horrible. Please don't get to this point. Please don't experience the consequences of sin on your own. I beg you, how we should long for these people. Not just to think of, not just to look at them and, oh, I'm so much superior. I'm not stuck in these sins. No, it's pity. It's, oh, what they're going to experience. It's awful. It should make us weep. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared for unto battle, likely referring to their swiftness. You can't outrun them. And their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, likely referring to they're going to conquer who they've been given power to conquer. Their faces were as the faces of men, maybe referring to they have problem-solving ability. You can't sneak and hide away from them. They had hair as the hair of women. I didn't find a good explanation of that exactly, except it doesn't belong on something so terrible. So just adding to the picture of them. And the teeth were as teeth of lions, powerful, ferocious, able to do what they've accomplished. The breastplates were as breastplates of iron. They're locusts, but you can't swat them. They're not going to be damaged. You can't beat them. You can't defeat them. They are going to win against humans. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Imagine that. Something so horrible. Something so ferocious, and is bringing so much torment, and you can just hear them coming. You know, oh, they're getting closer. It's a terrorizing thing. But this is what they long to do. They have great power to inflict the damage. Verse 10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They have great power to inflict this. And who is their boss, their leader? They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. this be referring to Satan, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Both of those names in Hebrew and Greek mean destroyer. That is the characteristic of Satan. He is the destroyer. And who is he destroying? He is destroying his own followers. You would think one who tries to get followers onto his side would want to help the followers along. But that's not Satan. He wants followers to give him more people to destroy. And that's his desire. And that's what he seeks to do even today, to get more people to destroy. And as horrible as that fifth trumpet is, verse 12 says, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter, the sixth and the seventh trumpet, and everything that the seventh trumpet leads into. The sixth trumpet, and I heard the sixth angel sounding, I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. The sixth trumpet is going to give the people, they were seeking death in the fifth trumpet. The sixth trumpet is going to give them that. But they're not going to like it. They're not going to have it the way they wanted it. And it's not going to bring them the relief they were hoping for. And God uses the proponents of sin, the devil and his demons, to destroy the sinners. The angels that are loose from the great river Euphrates, these would be demons as well. Since they were bound, it's most likely they are bad angels. And they were prepared for a certain day. They are bound. They're likely bound right now. And God in his sovereignty releases them when it is time. And these angels were destined for this one task, or these demons are destined for this task. Verse 15, and the four angels were loosed, and which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. They're being held back right now. But what they've been waiting to do, what they are longing to do, is to kill. Satan tries to appear as somebody that's on the people's side. He's going to give pleasure. God, he just wants to hold you back, and he just wants to, and he just, you know, he just doesn't want you to have any fun, and he just wants to. Those are all Satan's lies. Just like he lied to Eve. Oh, look, it's this the fruit, it's good, and God just doesn't want you to have wisdom. Satan tries to look like he's on your side when he's tempting you to sin. But what does he long for, and what do his followers long to do? They long for this. And these four in particular long for the day to kill a third part of men. And this army that follows them, again a demonic army. Verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That would be 200 million. And John says, that's the exact number. He says, and I heard the number of them. Verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, or red fire, and of jacinth. That would be a blue addition to the fire, maybe even hotter, since blue is usually hotter. Brimstone would be a yellow. It's sulfur. It's disgusting, and it burns hot. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. They're ferocious, they're powerful. They can do what they've come to do. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone or sulfur. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. A third part of humanity annihilated. The fourth seal killed a quarter of the people that were living in the tribulation age. And now another third have been killed. And more were killed as they were caught up in some of the other judgments. But those are the two big parts so far. That would be half of the population of that day. However many are present in the tribulation, half of them have now died. More than half have now died. I didn't read verse 19. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents. Again, a disturbing, disgusting, scary image. And had heads, and with them they do hurt. They accomplish what they came to do. So here these ferocious beasts of locusts came and they tormented the people for 5 months. Then these other horrible beasts came, demons came, and they've now killed a third, resulting in, since the tribulation began, more than half of the people have been killed. What do you think should be the response to this? These people are seeing everybody around them dying. They already experienced the torment. How would they respond? Do they turn to the Lord and say, I repent. Sin is not worth it. I give up. What is their response? Well, verses 20 and 21 show that the response, show that sin is not just an accident. Oops, I sinned. Nope, sin is not an accident. Sin is a willful choice to reject God. And here's their response in verse 20. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works. They yet repented not of the works of their hands. They didn't change what they were doing. They didn't repent. God still gives them the opportunity. And what did they not repent of? What are they still doing? That they should not worship devils. Notice that. They just saw the demons torment them for 5 months and then kill a third of them. And what do? They worship them. That is how deceptive sin is. It's just walking into the destruction, following after it. And so they worship all of these other things, all of the idols in the world. Demons are behind all of that. The worship of anything else, it's a demon behind it. These idols can't do anything to help them. Whatever they're worshiping, whatever they're chasing after, it's not going to help them. It's just going to lead them further toward destruction. And when they're worshiping the wrong thing, they're going to do the wrong thing. And so they refuse to repent of their sins, and they choose to still live in it. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. It's a short summary of sin there. but they don't repent. Verses 20 and 21 is a horrendous description of the depravity of man. But as I close, I don't want to close on that note. I want to close in thinking and praising God all the more because Jesus took care of all of this for you. He has washed your sins away. The sin is horrible. It's deceitful and it's destructive. If any of you have not turned to Christ, you need to. Or this is the result. And then for us who most likely, most of us are Christians here today, don't even toy with sin. Ask yourself, whatever you do, how close are you to that line? So many Christians today, yeah, they don't want to disappoint God, but they want to be as close to that line as possible. As close to the world as possible. Oh, I don't want to step over that. Oh, if I do, it was an accident. No. We need to do the opposite. Not how close to the line we could be, but how close to God can you be? How much righteousness can you follow after? Heed the warning of Revelation chapter 9. And share this warning with others that you come into contact with this week. Our Father, we thank you again for this passage. And I thank you for the warning. Lord, we praise you for defeating sin, defeating death, by sending your Son to the cross for our sins. Help us to never grow cold of that wonderful truth. Help us to not even toy with sin. And give us opportunity to warn others of the price, the consequences of sin. In Jesus' name, amen.